The title of the sermon tonight is this: God helps those who help themselves. Let's minimize the interruptions, please. I've got to tell you a little story before I read the scripture, and let's do this. Go ahead and stand. Stand up. I'll read the scripture with you, and then I'll tell my little story, all right? Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter number 2. Once you find Daniel 2, find verse number 19. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 19. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 19. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 19. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Father, bless us. Bless the sermon. God, I truly want to help people to go forward and to accomplish your purpose in their life. Might we help with that tonight? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. We're going to come back to the scripture in a moment, but I want to tell you a little bit of a story that helped to prompt what I'm about to say tonight. Mrs. Owens had been in Montana for about 10 days visiting our children and grandchildren out there. And I went to pick her up at the airport, and on the way into Raleigh, I got off on an exit, and it was kind of strange. There were two cars there. Both were obviously broken down, I take it. What was funny is, when I pulled by one car, man was sitting on the hood and just doing nothing. I went up the ramp a little bit, and a second car was broken down, and a man was out, and he was pushing his car. You say, "What'd you do?" "I pulled over." You say, "Which one did you help?" "The one that was pushing his car." Because I figured he was trying to go somewhere. You say, "Well, the other guy was broken down too." "I know, but he was broken down with no intent of going anywhere. The other guy was broken down with intent of going somewhere." Stay with me. Let that lead us into the concept that I want to teach you tonight. In Daniel chapter 2, verse number 21, it says, "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Let me tell you the story that's occurring here in this chapter in Daniel. Daniel is in captivity. His captor is a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. The king had a dream, and the king, in that dream, it troubled that king very greatly. And so the king calls upon what he would call his magicians or his sorcerers or his astrologers and said to them, "I want you to interpret my dream." Matter of fact, he said, "If you do not interpret my dream, then I'm going to cut you to pieces and your homes are going to become manure piles." That was the threat. Well, they could not interpret his dream. They said, "Nobody can figure out what your dream was, sir." And the decree went forth that threatened punishment of chopping these sorcerers and soothsayers to bits, it was going to come to pass, and their homes were going to become dung piles. Well, Daniel at that time, though a captive, was considered one of the wise men in that area, so he would have been slain with all the others. And everybody look right this way. Young people, pay attention up here. And so Daniel was going to face the same punishment as the others. And Daniel said, "Maybe, sir, you could give me a chance to interpret your dream." And so Daniel does interpret the dream. And as a result of it, everybody that would have been slain is not slain. Now, Daniel goes to praising God after that event. And that's what Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 is talking about. And this is what Daniel says. Daniel says about God. He says, "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." What's being said there? Daniel had, before this incident, Daniel had acquired some wisdom, and he learned how to properly use that wisdom, and God rewarded Daniel's wisdom with more wisdom. Now that seems like a strange truth. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. It seemed like God would give wisdom to those that are unwise. But that's not what it said. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. Now, there's an equally strange statement made. He then says, he giveth knowledge to them that know understanding. In other words, not only does he says he gives wisdom to those that are wise, but now he gives knowledge to those that already have knowledge. Now, it seems to me that he would give wisdom to the unwise, and he would give knowledge to those that had no knowledge. But that is not what the Bible says. And there's no mistake here. God knows exactly what he's talking about, and Daniel knew exactly what he was saying. He said he gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge to those that already have some understanding. But it does seem a little odd. We would think that wisdom would be given to the unwise and knowledge to those that did not have knowledge. Now, let me show you another story in the Bible where we see this same concept where we're heading. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Popular verse. I want you to notice the word renew. It does not say they that wait upon the Lord will get strength for the first time. It says renew. The prefix R-E means there's something before or again. That means there already was strength and he's about to give more strength where there is strength. Which means they already have the strength and it's just going to be added to, or strength to which he will add. The word wait here, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord. Some people erroneously believe that means someone is sitting around like men do on Sunday morning when their wives are getting ready for church. Someone said this, honey, I got to tell you, the two Sundays you were gone, I was here early. I was here at church. And somebody said, "You're here early." And then they said, "Oh, I know why." And then this morning they said, "Ah, you're back to your old schedule, huh?" What was happening? I was waiting patiently without my horn on the car. I stopped doing that a long time ago. You say, "Why?" She walks softly and carries a big purse. But I was waiting. That meant, you know, that kind of wait is sitting around doing nothing. That is not what this is talking about when it says they that wait upon the Lord. What this is talking about is you go down to Moore's Barbecue, there's going to be a waiter that serves you and attends to your need. It's somebody that's busy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so God's not giving strength to people that are doing nothing. God is giving strength to people that are busy already doing something. God gives strength to spiritual waiters, if you will, those who cater to God's need. Now, get this. He gives wisdom to the wise. He gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. He gives strength to the strong. Huh. I see this same concept being taught in Matthew chapter 25. Stay with me. Let me explain it. In Matthew 25:14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now here's a story. There's a businessman. He's about to take a trip out of the country. He calls some of his employees to him, and he's going to give each of them an allotment of money. That money is going to be called a talent. So we're not talking, when we talk about talent, you think if you can tap dance like Shirley Temple, that's a talent. That's not the talent that it's talking about here. When it talks about a talent here, it's talking about a sum of money. So this businessman, he's leaving the country. He's calling some of his servants to him. He's going to give them an allotment of money to take care of while he's out of the country. He gives one of them 5 talents. He gives one of them 2 talents. He gives one of them 1 talent. And then he leaves the country. He comes back later from his trip. He, as anyone would, he calls these servants in and he wants to ask them, "I gave you some money while I was gone. I want to know how it went with my money while I was gone." The 5-talent receiver said, "Sir, you gave me 5 allotments of money and I doubled it to 10. And I'm sure the boss smiled. And this is what the boss said. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So he got praised. Right? Then the boss talks to the guy that he gave two allotments of money or two talents to. He said, "Hey, how'd it go?" And the guy said, "Listen, you gave me two. I invested them. I doubled it to 4. The businessman compliments him. And in Matthew 25:23 says this to the guy that doubled from 2 to 4. He says, "His Lord said unto me, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many." He then gets to the guy that he had given one talent to, one allotment of money. He said, "Hey, I've been gone. How'd you do with the money?" And the servant said, "Well, I was scared. I was afraid I was going to lose the talent. And to be honest, I just dug a hole and buried it. And I have no increase." Listen to what the master said. That guy said, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Wow. He took the one of the unproductive person and gave it to the guy who had doubled from 5 to 10. God took from the lazy and gave to the hardworking. Well, that's the opposite of socialism, isn't it? Huh. Isn't that amazing? God gives wisdom to the wise. God gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. God gives strength to those that already have some strength. God gives talents to those that already have talents. What exactly is God thinking here? Do you see the rhythm in this type of thinking for God? It's very obvious. This is a principle of God's. You say, what's going on? What's God thinking? Well, he wants to invest wisdom into the wise. He wants to invest his knowledge into those that have achieved a certain amount of knowledge. He wants to give strength to those that have proven that they want strength. He wants to invest money into those that are going to use money that he gives them the right way. Well, how do you find that out? Well, what do they do with what they already have? Folks, let me tell you something. Everybody here, we all need to make ourselves investment worthy. Investment worthy. When I seen the two vehicles broken down when I went to Raleigh to pick up my wife, I didn't even take a moment to calculate what I was doing. One guy's car's broken down. He's sitting on the hood doing nothing. The other guy is out trying to push. And I said, "Well, I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to help somebody that's trying to help themselves, but I'm not going to go help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves." It was easy. Now, look, if a dumb old country boy like me can take a gander at a situation like that and come up with that end result, I'm going to guess the great, wise God of the universe, he could very, very, in a very simple and a powerful way, say, I give wisdom unto the wise. My dad, growing up, he said this. He taught me this. He said, "Son, you work like it all depends on you, and then you pray like it all depends on God." I got to tell you, in religion, there are people that use religion as a crutch. They use it to justify laziness, a lack of being assertive in the successes of life. We're waiting around for God. I irritate some pastors because they're waiting for God to build their church. And I'm thinking, get off your rocking chair and do nothing. Get out there and make something happen, and maybe God would take an interest in your work. Dad said, "You work like it's all depending on you, but you pray like it's all depending on God." That old adage, that's the name of my sermon tonight, God helps those who help themselves. Folks, make yourself investment or invest worthy. That's what God's looking for. Look, if you and I have the sense, if you looked at an investment and it was doing nothing, or you looked at an investment and it was going backwards, would you take your life savings and say, you know what? That's doing nothing. It's got a bad track record, and it has for a long time. I think I'll give everything I have to it. You say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. And you tell me why God ought to invest in you. You say, well, doesn't he love me? Yeah, I love you enough that he saved you. But when he saved you, he gave you the potential to succeed. And if you don't use what he's given you, why should he give you any more? I'm going to get a little more practical. This sermon, I don't think, will take long. Sometimes that doesn't turn out the way I think. But for instance, a little more practical. Hey, you young married couples, you need to succeed with what you have. And then God can bless you with more as you succeed with what you have. When Mrs. Owens and I first got married, we had very little. The new generation, they do things very differently. We didn't pass out sheets and tell everybody everything that we wanted in life and say, give this all to me. You say, well, they give you at your wedding, whatever they wanted. And we were glad to have it. You couldn't have offended us with a gift. It wouldn't have been possible. How could you offend anybody with a gift? Somebody gave you something. You didn't work for it. It was a gift. And that's how I grew up. We had plastic margarine bowls. We did have a set of the same type margarine bowls. You know, they weren't from a variety of suppliers, but we had margarine bowls, had a little plastic lid that snapped on. You kept the lid in case you needed that. But if I ate my cereal, it was out of a margarine bowl. We didn't have matching kitchen appliances. You know, our stove and our refrigerator, we cooked food on one and the other kept things cool most of the time. And, you know, we thought we were right downtown because we actually took them into the garage, sanded them down, and we painted them with Rust-Oleum paint to match. And put them in our kitchen. That's what we had. That's where we started. Today, young couples want to have it all. Now. I want a new car, I want a new house, I want a new washer, I want a new dryer, I want everything matching, I want the most gorgeous of everything. Honey, growing up, nobody gave us much of anything. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad they didn't. We learned how to make do. On May 22nd of this year, and I should have asked her this question, we celebrate our 37th? Is this our 30s? Oh, good. Oh, cool. Oh, and all God's men said, amen. I just realized I want to check with her on that number. Honey, I love you. You're a good girl. On May 22nd of this year, my wife and I will celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary. And I got to tell you, God's been good. But you know what we did? We pulled together and we made do with what we had. We took, and we didn't feel like we were cheated. I mean, when we ate out of our margarine bowls, we were just glad to have food. And we didn't have a bunch of new things. And we didn't have, hey, look, we didn't have everything that Mom and Dad had after 25 and 30 years of marriage. I'm going to tell you all something. Some of you that have it all at an early age, then what are you going to look forward to later on in life? Are you ever going to be satisfied? Are you going to live with covetousness in your heart for the rest of your life? Every once in a while, it might be good to do without for a little while. And I'm not trying to get you to not succeed, but I am telling you this. God helps those that help themselves. We may do with what we had. And in time, hey, there came a day when we got some matching furniture. We've had, I don't know how long we've had the same bedroom suit, but it's all beat up, but it matches. We've never had a new bedroom suit, but I'll tell you this. Through the years, God's blessed us. Be careful, young married couples, that you want everything now. When you look at others that have been married 20 and 25 and 30 years, you want everything now that they have, but they had to wait and get some of it. All I'm telling you is this, God blesses those, and God can help those that will learn how to help themselves. You do all you can, then God can come and do the rest. Don't expect others to hand you their successes. You know what I found out in life? You say, well, I'm going to inherit a bunch of money. That could be very, very dangerous for you. You know how many times I've watched people inherit businesses and money and then flounder it all? You say, why? They didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what it took to earn it, so they wasted it all. There are people that have virtually inherited the United States of America, and they're floundering our freedoms, but they better look back and see the price that was paid by some pioneers and some military people that still love our flag, that still put their hand on their heart, and they realize it was one nation under God. They better look back to the price that was paid. But I think what I'm telling you is God helps those who help themselves. He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. He gives strength to those that have an element of strength. And so, young couples, make do with what you have. You do the best with what you have and be happy with it. And in time, you'll see more, because God will take care of those that will take care of themselves. Secondly, I think God works miracles for those who will work without miracles. I think God does miracles. I think God's still in the miracle working business. Well, I think there are some people sitting around waiting for a miracle. You're sitting on the hood of your car, on the exit, just praying that somehow you could go forward. You might want to get off the stool and on the stick, buddy. Is that a bad thing to say? Every once in a while, my family goes, oh, Dad, there's another one. You shouldn't have said that. The religious community is waiting for God to do a miracle. I think God's waiting for some of the religious community to get a work ethic and apply themselves. You look at most miracles in the Bible, they were worked for people who were busy working with or without a miracle. Hey, you say, well, I'll tell you what. That David sure was fortunate to have God's miracle-working intervention in the slaying of Goliath. Well, I've got news for you. Long time before God helped David have the miracle victory over Goliath, David was out working for God. David had slain a lion, and David had slain a bear, and David had proved himself. And it wasn't a matter of God came along and found this lazy shepherd boy lying up staring at the stars saying, give me a miracle, give me a miracle, give me a miracle. David had calluses on his hands and sweat on his brow, and he had fought many a battle. And then the day came when he needed a miracle, and God said, you know what, that guy down there, he's going to work with or without a miracle. I think that justifies a miracle. See, I think God gives miracles to those that will go on with or without the miracle. You say, boy, that Moses sure was fortunate to have God's miracle and that working, that intervention when they crossed the Red Sea. You remember the story where they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground? What a miracle. Well, just so you know, long before they crossed the Red Sea, Moses was already busy for God. Moses was already going forward. Moses had already led the children of Israel out of captivity. And hey, look, he had fled to the backside of the desert, and he labored for his father-in-law. He had given up the luxury of living in Pharaoh's palace. Man, he had been busy sacrificing and working and toiling. Moses wasn't this lazy character that just got to the Red Sea and said, hey, you know what, God, I'm going to wait here for you to do a miracle. I think Moses was already busy, and I believe this. I think when Moses got there, he was in a pickle about getting across the Red Sea. But if I know Moses, he probably had in his briefcase a plan. He's going to build a bridge. He's going to build a boat. But we're getting across this water. We're not going to wait here. We're not going to rot. And God said, you know, a guy that'll plan like that, work like that, he'll throw himself into this thing with or without a miracle. You know what? I think I'll step in and show him something supernatural. But I'm not going to bless some lazy bum with supernatural energy. Why should I? When you won't give what you have, why should you expect God to give you more? He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge unto the knowledgeable. He gives strength to those that already have an element of strength. He gives miracles to those that don't require miracles to spend their energy. Joshua's miraculous God provided victory over Jericho. You say, wow, when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, God did a miracle. and the walls came tumbling down. Woo! I'd like to have that. Well, I have to tell you something. Do you understand why God looked down and gave Joshua the victory that he did? Joshua was already a mighty warrior. Joshua had fought many a battle. And I'm going to guess there are a few times when Joshua was in battle and the swords were flying and the blood was flinging. He was wanting a miracle at that moment, but he said, hey, I don't think God's given me any deliverance miracle. I'm going to have to fight my way out of this mess. And one day God looks down at the Battle of Jericho and he said, that old boy right there, he's going to do it with or without my help. He's committed to me. He's going to go forward. He's going to invest himself. He'll fight this battle even if I don't help him. Watch what I can do for that guy. There are some people, you just want God to go fight your battle for you. You know what God was expecting? For you to try to fight some of your battle for yourself. We live in a welfare mentality in our day. We want somebody to take care of us and somebody to carry the load. I wonder if God doesn't want us to carry the load. Say, I'd like to have a miracle. I think God gives miracles to those that are going to move forward without a miracle. He said, I give wisdom unto the wise. I give strength unto the strong. I give knowledge to the knowledgeable. I give money to those that will use their money properly. I give victory to those that will use their victories properly. God worked miracles for those that will work without miracles. I think this. I think God gives special intervention of growth in business ventures to those people that will work at growing their businesses without special intervention by God. You say, I want my business to grow. All right. Then do it. Grow your business. You say, I'm waiting on God to do it. And God's waiting for you to do it. You're not going to succeed in business. You know, some people, they virtually use spirituality as a crutch, as a way to hide from responsibility. Businessman, let me ask you this question. Why should God invest in your business? If I were going to invest in a business, I seen a guy that was out there shaking the bushes, guy that was making it happen, guy that didn't let things stop him, I'd say, you know, if I'm going to invest in a business, that's the one I'm going to invest in. You say, well, I'll pray my business into success. You better work and pray your business into success. God gives knowledge unto the knowledgeable. God gives wisdom to those that are already using what wisdom they have. Why should God give you more when you're not using what you have? There are people in here. You're just begging God to do some things for you. I got news for you. You're spiritually lazy. There are things that you know you ought to do. You were trained to do them. You grew up knowing they were supposed to be done. And you're just asking, oh, God, bless me. God says, you go do something, then I'll bless you. You know better than to live the way you are. You know better than to be lazy like that in your spiritual life. You know how to be faithful to church. You know how to give to God. You know how to change life, but you do nothing. But you want me to interact and you want me to get involved in your life and you want me to do something for you. And God says, why don't you do what you're supposed to do? Then I'll come help you do what you can't do. There's a laziness involved in some of our Christian behavior. Hey, listen, another concept. God gives to givers, not to takers. That's what the Bible teaches. God gives to givers. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. God said, you give, I'll give to you. You say, well, nah. If God will give to me, then I'll give to him. God said, that ain't working that way. We're not going that route. Not going to do it that way. God said, you give to me, then I'll give to you. You say, well, doesn't God trust me? What do you think? Give, he said, you give, then I'll give back. God gives to those who give, not to those who take, not to those who keep, not just to those that receive. Receiving is not what creates success, folks. In God's economy, receiving is not what makes you a success. Giving in God's economy is what makes you a success. The teaching here is not hold out until you have plenty, then give to God. It's not what it's teaching. God's saying, if you will give sacrificially what you have, I will then, and only then, give you more so you can give of what I give you. Why? He gives wisdom to who? People that are wise. Look, everybody here has an element of wisdom. If you won't use what God's given you, don't expect Him to give you any more. Why would He do that? I mean, let's think about it for a second, parents. When your child has three dips of ice cream in their bowl, and that bowl of ice cream is now melting, there's a good chance the ice cream's going to waste because the child's not going to eat the ice cream. And the child walks up to you and says, could I have a couple more dips of ice cream? What do you say? No. Why? You're going to say, eat what I gave you. So Christian, listen. You say, God, give me. He said, no. Why? You don't use what I gave you. God may look down and say, your parents raised you better than that. Now live right. You've been in a decent church and you've learned how to live. And you, hey, you say, am I responsible just for you? What you taught me today, Pastor? No, you're responsible for everything you've been taught. From here back. And then God looks down and says, look, you receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and receive. That does not make you successful. Giving makes you successful. See, He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives victory to those that experience victories. He gives strength to the strong. Look this way. I think God looks for ministries in which to invest Himself. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, let me give us some advice. We need to do all we can. Then God will do what we can't. The question is, are we doing all we can? You say, who are you talking to? Everybody. Hey, God going to hold out on the miracle for my church because of you? Now, God's going to look down and say, well, I could do a miracle for that church, but I got about 20 people in there that know better, that could do better. They won't give what they have. Now, why should I give a miracle to them when they won't give what they have to me? So to everyone, you have to live up to your potential. You have to live up to your expectation. You need to live up to your training. Are you giving God everything you're supposed to give God? While you're holding out, hey, you know that God could do a miraculous miracle, but He's not going to do it. If He knows we're holding out, why should He give us another dip? When the ice cream He gave you is melting and wasting and you're ignoring it. Everybody wants to be a part of the church. It's going somewhere and doing something. But not everybody wants to be a contributor to its success. God gives wisdom unto the wise. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, do all we can, and then God will do the rest. We do what does not take a miracle, then God can do the miracle. You remember, and I really believe, our church was unified and moving forward. But we needed this building. And we were giving. And I think we were giving sacrificially. Y'all remember? Man, we had you tapped to the max. And everybody's saying, oh no, how are we going to do this? That is when God stepped in. And God said, you all have given. I see you're giving your all. You're doing it right. And God said, let me cover the rest. But God's not going to cover the rest and when you're holding out on what you could have done. You say, Pastor, I want greater leadership skills. Well, then I'd recommend you use what leadership skills you already have at some level if you want God to give you more. You say, I want greater musical ability. You better use what musical ability you have and with a good attitude right where you're at, then God can add to that. God just doesn't come along and say, I'm just going to give this to you. You haven't earned it. You just because you want it, I think I'll do that. Believe it or not, folks, God expects some character out of you and I. God wants us, hey, we're to be developing the character of God in our life. Let me ask you something. Is God going to do what's right with or without help? Yes, He will. God going to make it all happen with or without help? Yes, He will. Is God waiting for somebody to bail Him out? No, He's not. Now, Christian, I'm all for miracles, and I believe that God answers prayer, and I believe in all of that, but I think God looks down and he says, look, you're asking me to do for you what you could be doing for yourself. I think God just considers that laziness. You can hide behind a religious facade as if I'm just waiting on the Lord. God's waiting on you. You got a stalemate, and I think God has a right to wait on you, and you have no right to delay God at what you could do but won't do. God said, you show me growth, then I can show you some. But you do your part. Take the area of comfort, and we're almost done, folks. The area of comfort in our lives. I think God comforts those who attempt to comfort themselves. Let me tell you why some of you are perpetually depressed. You start to get depressed, but you don't try to fix it. You cater to it. Instead of stopping the thinking of the negative, you feed it. You almost entertain yourself with it. You almost like that morbid, negative, dark hole that you can crawl yourself into. You think God's going to bail you out? God will bail you out of your emotional distress when you're trying to bail yourself out. Instead of reading your Bible, you turn on the television and you watch every negative thing while you're depressed. You think you're bailing yourself out? Instead of listening to good gospel music, you're listening to your filthy rock and roll, which will make your depression even worse. But you say, oh, God, I'm depressed. Help me. God said, help yourself. And that is not a lack of love from God. Look this way. Look at, guys, don't play. This isn't laughing time. Look, why should God bail us out when we could be bailing ourselves out? Look, if you've got a boat and it's sinking and you've got a bucket to bail water out of your boat and you're just sitting there saying, this is so bad, this is so bad, we're all going to die. God's going to say, pick up the bucket, idiot. Bail some water out. You say, but I don't think I can get it all out. God say, you get all the water out you can. I'll take care of the rest. And some of you are your emotions. You're going to sink your boat while you whine and you cry. And all you do is sympathize with yourself. Grab yourself and say, I will try to encourage myself. I will comfort myself. I will work on myself. I'll listen to good music. I'll read the Bible. I'll go do something good. I'll stop thinking about the negative. I'll stop going down a negative, emotional, depressing path. And God will say, you know what? You're doing all you can. I can bail you out. But we get lazy. You know what we want? We want somebody to do it for us. Oh, God. Send me a miracle. And God says, I've already sent it to you. Use what I gave you. I'm not trying to portray God as uncaring. It's obvious that the Scripture teaches He gives wisdom unto the wise. He gives knowledge to those that use the knowledge that they have. He gives to givers, not to takers. He gives encouragement to those that attempt to encourage. He gives comfort to those that attempt to comfort. I'll tell you something. God could make all the comfort and the encouragement in the world available to you. But if you will not move toward Him to receive it, if you'll not move toward Him with what you have, it'll be wasted ice cream. Wasted ice cream. I was looking at two vehicles. One guy was sitting on his hood. He needed help. Another guy was trying to push his car. And I said, you know something? If I'm going to get out of my car and go help somebody, I think I'll help the guy who's trying to help himself. Why? We stood a better chance of getting a job done. I didn't know. You know, and here's where some of you are. If I would have jumped out, it would have been you in your situation, sitting on the hood of the car. I could have jumped out, started pushing. You'd sit there on the hood of the car and say, push, push, push. You know what I knew? I knew the guy that was already pushing when we got in the yoke together. He wasn't going to criticize me while I was busy helping. Receivers, if that's all they do, they'll criticize you when you try to help. He didn't do it right. I'm thinking, you didn't do anything. It's what I get for being good to you. I'll be mad at you. And here's the philosophy in the ministry. Why are you mad at me? I've only done everything I could for you. Listen, Daniel, after the miracle was worked, made a statement, amazing statement. He said, he giveth wisdom unto the wise. The way I seen it was this. God helps those who help themselves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Then, if you're here tonight and you would like to see something more out of God in your life, take a good long look and see if you're doing all you can. Are you what you're supposed to be? Why should God give you another dip of ice cream when you're not taking advantage of what he's already given you? Why should God push your car when you just sit on the hood and wait for somebody to take care of this? Why should God bless you when you're not willing to pay the price for a blessing? Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. God has spoken to me, and I see something in my life that needs improving. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I hope you'll act upon it. It's easy to raise your hand. It's a little harder to act upon that. Hey, and remember this. Does God have a miracle for our church, but he's looking down and saying, the membership of that church, I've got people that just hold out, that they won't make the moves that they need to make toward God. And so God says, you know what, I'm not going to give them the miracle because they're... And the bad part about it is there might be people that are really running and giving their all. They're just giving their all to God. But you got an element of people that won't. So God says, the miracle is going to take a little more unity than that. Is God holding out on us because you're holding out on God? Think about it. If you need this altar, I want you to be willing to come. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I do want a miracle from you. I need something from you. But God, tomorrow morning, I'll get up and I'll go to work on helping to solve the issues. I won't hide behind religion. I won't even hide behind prayer. I'll keep praying, but I'm going to do something to better my situation. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? I think there are young people in this room, there are habits in your life that need to be corrected. And you say, oh God, it's not playing time, young people, it's listening time. There are young people in this room, you need to overcome some habit in your life. And you're saying, oh, God, help me with that. But you already know. There are things attached to your habit that ought to be put in the trash can. There are things that you ought to separate from yourself. And the reason why you're not getting the victory is you're not doing what you could. And because you won't do what you could, God's not going to come along and miraculously do for you what you won't do for yourself. God blesses us, and God takes care of us, and God loves us, but God's also a daddy. And daddies don't do everything for their kids. A good dad, if you're not careful, you will spoil your child by doing everything for them. So you say to your child, you carry that bucket full of rocks as far as you can, and then dad will come help when you can't carry any further. A daddy that carries all the buckets of rocks everywhere for his son will raise a lazy son. He will raise a son that will never hold his own. He'll never keep his own. He'll never be able to take care of his own. The subject of character is a part of Christianity as much as it's a part of the society of the United States of America. If I had my way, every welfare recipient that is of well body, I'd get them some work. Say, why? Help them to make their way. You say, you're being mean. No, I'm being good to them. I'm being good to them. God would better bless them if they would do something for themselves. God gave us arms. He gave us legs. He gave us a mind. Did you know God didn't give you food just so you could get fat and sassy? God gave you food to give you energy. To do what? To beg him to take care of everything? No. To go do what you're supposed to do. You do it with him. You walk with him. But God's not in the program of carrying everybody when they ought to be carrying themselves. That's why he gives us energy and strength. Very wisely, Daniel said, he giveth wisdom unto the wise. He giveth knowledge unto the knowledgeable. The Bible said He gives strength unto the strong. What does He do? He gives to givers, not to takers. He gives comfort to those that will attempt to comfort themselves. He gives emotional courage to those that will use what emotional courage they have. Some people just roll over and play dead emotionally and just let it happen to them. That's not how God wants you to act as a Christian. The sermon's title is this: God Helps Those Who Help Themselves. This is the last time through the song, and then we'll be on our way. Thank you, folks. Remain standing. Let me tell you, I can remember I was working with one of my sons. We were doing something, and it was a bit of a challenge for him, which was very good for him. I remember him looking at me, and it was a physical challenge, and he said, "Dad, I can't." And I said, "I think you can." He said, "But Dad, I just can't." I said, "You try again. I think you can." He tried again, and he did. I can't tell you how many times in the Christian life we say, "But I can't." He said, "I think you can." "Dad, I don't think I can." He says, "Try again. I think you can." And then we do. The devil will have you sell yourself short of what you can do for God. He's an intimidator. He's a liar. He's a cheater. He's a thief. Go forward for God. God will go with you.